Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our August 8th meeting. If you all rise, please, and join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this time, if I may entertain a motion to approve the presentations.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Lenthal, seconded by Supervisor Bianchi. A roll call, please.
Mr. Lenthal.
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi.
Yes.
Mr. Patterson.
Yes.
Mr. Asajian.
Aye. At this time, if I may ask Nicole to come forward. Stay at the podium, please.
That's good.
It gives me great pleasure to read this resolution commending Nicole Nikki Anderson for 10 years of service to the County of San Luis Obispo. Hereby, this resolution is read. Whereas Nikki Anderson began her career with San Luis Obispo County on October 30, 1995, as a system software specialist in the Information Service Department. And whereas Ms. Anderson played a major role in the Y2K mainframe conversion, was responsible for the Lotus Notes implementation and supervised the operating systems database team for 6 years. And whereas in 2003, Nikki transferred to the auditor controller's staff as an accounting system analyst, where she utilized her education in accounting and her experience with computer systems in support of several automation projects, also receiving her CPA designation in 2005. And whereas Nikki is retiring from county employment to pursue a continued career in the private sector. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered by the Board of Supervisors that hereby commend and thank Nicola Anderson for her service to the County of San Luis Obispo and its citizens, and is wished all the best in the future. If you'll come forward and accept the resolution, please.
If you want to pause, we'll have him take a picture without rushing. Okay, thank you. You're welcome to say a word.
That's okay. Mr. Seebach?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Jerry Seebach, Auditor Controller. There isn't a lot to add to the resolution, since I wrote the resolution anyway, but other than Nikki has done some excellent work for us, even though she was with our department a fairly short period of time, she had unique skills as education and accounting and a lot of experience with computers. And when we needed help on the installation of the new EFS system, she handled some very critical responsibilities there and did an excellent job, and we do appreciate that. And we're also excited for her with going to her challenge in the private sector. So she's just retiring from county service, but she's got a lot of things going, and I know she's going to be very successful there, and we wish her well. And thank you, Nikki.
I'd just like to thank everyone at the county. I've had some great experiences. I've worked with wonderful, wonderful people and chances to work on projects that really made a big difference in the county, and it's really been a pleasure. So thanks.
Thank you, and good luck to you. Supervisor Patterson will do the next honors.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would Kenneth Finney please come to the podium? It gives me great pleasure to read a resolution commending Kenneth Finney for 28 years of service to the County of San Luis Obispo. Whereas Kenneth Finney began his San Luis Obispo County career January 2, 1978, as a member of the Auditor Controller's internal audit staff, handling progressively more demanding audit assignments and earning promotions over the years, And whereas Mr. Finney became an accounting system analyst in 1984, and in 1993 was promoted to principal accounting system analyst. And whereas Mr. Finney is known and widely respected throughout the county for his work ethic, attention to critical detail, positive attitude, patient manner, and unquestioned integrity, now therefore be it resolved and ordered by the Board of Supervisors that Kenneth Finney is hereby commended and thanked for his long and meritorious service to the County of San Luis Obispo and its citizens, and is wished the best of health and happiness in the coming years.
Ken, we'll do a picture for you, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Equal opportunity.
Mr. Seabuck.
Once again, Jerry Seabuck, Auditor Controller. Ken and I crossed paths for about 6 months back in 1978. I was just on my way out the door to go to move up to Oregon and work in public accounting, and Ken was coming in, and so we've known each other for many, many years, and he's always been a gentleman and somebody that we could rely on to take care of anything we needed in the auditor's office. He handled payroll responsibility for the county for many years, participated in labor negotiations. In fact, the last payroll system replacement, he was the lead person on that, which was back in 1990. And at the last minute, we asked him to step in and also help out on the EFS project because of some unexpected situations, and I don't think anybody but Ken could have done it, and we wouldn't have made it without him. We're going to miss him tremendously, and he's also a good friend. Some personal notes about Ken that those who know him well know how much he likes cars. He recently bought a Corvette, so I'm jealous of that. Dwayne, I don't know. Dwayne has too many to be any comparison, but he also is a 49er and a Giant fan, and he has a lovely daughter, and it's, I think, 3 grandchildren now that he's very proud of. So, Ken, thank you for everything.
I've had a terrific time working for the county during my career, and I've really enjoyed myself. I worked with a lot of great people, and all the people you work with are the ones that really make you stand out and perform well. So I appreciate the opportunity you've worked here, and I'm really looking forward to retirement, and I'm going to miss everybody tremendously.
Thank you.
Would Ms. Bianchi do the next honors, please?
Yes, this is a resolution commending Amparo Ampihaber for, I hope I pronounced the names correctly, for 29 years of service to the County of San Luis Obispo. If you'd come forward to the microphone, please. So the following resolution is hereby offered and read. Whereas on December 13, 1976, Ampihaber began her career with San Luis Obispo County as an accounting technician in the engineering department. And whereas in 1978, Ms. Haber transferred to the auditor-controller's staff to head the general accounting unit known as the FMS Control Center, a task that she would handle in an exemplary manner for the next 23 years. And whereas in 2001, Ms. Haber was promoted to deputy auditor-controller and assigned the responsibility to begin planning for installation of a comprehensive new accounting system, eventually the EFS project, while also training a replacement for herself as head of general accounting. And whereas Ms. Haber is recognized as the most accomplished general accountant in the history of San Luis Obispo County, is known for her creativity, dedication to duty, and respect for others, and has served as an inspirational role model for nearly 30 years. It is fitting that the board recognize Ms. Haber's achievements at this time. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered by the Board of Supervisors, hereby commends and thanks Amparo Haber for her dedicated service to the County of San Luis Obispo and its citizens, and is wished the best of health and happiness in future years.
Don't go away.
Mr. Seabuck, do you have anybody left working for you?
Yeah. They're bailing out. But again, the resolution, I actually wrote it and showed one of the drafts to Ampy, and she said, it's too nice. But I did it anyway because it's the truth. She is an exemplary person. We will not see her like again. And I'm sorry, I can't. Go on.
Thank you, Jerry. And thank you, Bill. I wish to thank everybody, our staff, for all their support through the years. The administrative office staff, you have been so supportive, and all the departments who work with us. I could not do anything without you. Thank you.
Well, we'll move forward, and if anybody wishes to come back, again, you're welcome to come forward and say a few words. I know it's very emotional to many of you and many of us, especially those who have worked together for so many years. Appreciate your efforts. Mr. Lentil, will you do the next honors, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Like my colleagues, it's always an honor to present a resolution. In my case, especially, if it's someone you've had the pleasure of knowing and working with, if David Johnson and Jerry Shafe in the District Attorney's Office would come forward to the podium, please. While they're walking up here reminds me, and I see Danny Hilford out there, it just seems like all of us, I think, started within about 14 months of one another. And we had Wyatt Cash and Jack Crawford and Jim Lindholm, all these people. It seemed like we were a small family in law enforcement at the District Attorney's Office. So it is a little bit emotional and special because you have the opportunity to work with somebody that many years. It just makes it harder to see them leave. Having said that, the following resolution is now hereby offered and read. Whereas Deputy District Attorney David L. Johnson has notoriously served the County of San Luis Obispo as a Deputy District Attorney representing the people of the State of California and the County of San Luis Obispo, here and after referred to as the County. We had to get some legalese in there. Did I say that right, Danny? Whereas Deputy District Attorney David L. Johnson has recently retired from the office of the District Attorney, and whereas Deputy District Attorney David L. Johnson has dutifully served the county and its people during his 33 and a half year as prosecutor. Whereas the county wishes to express a sincere appreciation to Deputy District Attorney David L. Johnson for his service to the people of San Luis Obispo County and wishes him the best in his retirement. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Chair of the Board of Supervisors does hereby commend David L. Johnson for his 33 and a half years of notorious and excellent prosecutorial service to the people of San Luis Obispo County. And David, I offer you my personal congratulations as well.
Thank you.
You want to pause for a picture?
Welcome to say a word, Mr. Shea.
I'll say it first, then I'll let you. Great. Jerry Shea, District Attorney. Good morning, members of the board, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for this opportunity to honor Dave Johnson and join you in honoring him. You know, during the last couple of years of Dave's career, he would refer to himself affectionately as the oldest living deputy district attorney in the state of California. And indeed, he has been with us for a long time. But before that, you know, Dave's had an interesting career. Back in the 50s, Dave was a member of the Marine Corps, a very proud member of the Marine Corps. In the 60s, he was a college football player down in Southern California and became a deputy city attorney for the Los Angeles City Attorney's Office back in the early 70s. Unfortunately for us, he came to San Luis Obispo with his wife, Andy, in 1973 and became a deputy DA. Boy, over the years, Dave has handled thousands and thousands of cases for us. But on a personal level, I should say that I came here in 1976 to the DA's office, and Dave was my first supervisor. Dave and I was very fortunate to be supervised by Dave in 1976. I think we managed to be the misdemeanor team for the San Luis Obispo County back then, Dave. Dave has gained a recognized expertise in the area of juvenile law over the last 30 years. He has been a member of the California District Attorneys Association Juvenile Justice Committee. He's been honored by the California Probation Chiefs Association, in fact, in 2004 with their Distinguished Service Award. Dave has just been an outstanding prosecutor for us for so many years. He has been somebody who's had a devotion to duty and a real generosity of spirit in his prosecutorial life. He's been somebody who's been dedicated to the rule of law, to the truth, and to fairness. And he's got a certain sense of fairness. With all of those qualities, you can imagine, we are going to miss Dave. And we've been very blessed to have him with us for the last 33 and a half years. So with that, Dave, I'm going to let you make the final argument to the jury, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. You're too kind. I want to thank the people of this county, your board, four different district attorneys, and some outstanding people to have had the honor to have worked with for 33 and a half years, and especially the law enforcement element in this county, which I think is probably one of the highest and most efficient in the state. I think we're blessed in this county, and I would commit that to your boards respectfully to consider that in terms of the continued support. I know your board gives the law enforcement community overall. And so with that, I want to thank you. Thank you for the privilege of working for you and with you, and I wish you well, and I look forward to your continued stewardship of our county and to, in my case, a retirement. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wish to publicly thank your wife for allowing you to be who you are. Okay, we'll move on. Jerry, you want to take another shot? Okay. The next person I would like to recognize is Chaplain Judy Bowen. If you'll come forward, please. And this recognition is for receiving the Commission on the Status of Women 2006 Service to Women Award. I'll wait till your army gets in shape. And what we'll do, Judy, when we ask you to come and receive the resolution, we'll pause for a picture, but we'll wait till the rest of the ladies come and show your support. We'll take a picture with all of you at the same time. This resolution recognizing Chaplain Judy Bowen for receiving the Commission on the Status of Women 2006 Service to Women Award. The following resolution is hereby offered and read. Whereas the San Luis Obispo County Commission on the Status of Women has chosen Chaplain Judy Bowen to receive its 2006 Service to Women Award. The Commission is honoring Bowen for her continuing and tireless efforts assisting women who are battling addictions and other problematic life choices. And whereas Judy Bowen is the founder and executive director of Captive Heart Ministries, which opened its doors in March 2000 and is based in the Five Cities area. And whereas Judy Bowen presently serves as the chaplain of the San Luis Obispo County Women's Jail and Sheriff's Department and has completed the Sheriff's Citizens Academy. And whereas Judy Bowen is the author of Roots That Affect Our Lives, a Christian 12-step program, and she leads classes, seminars, and conferences. Now therefore be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors does hereby recognize Chaplain Judy Bowen for receiving the Commission on the Status of Women 2006 Service to Women Award. Congratulations. Please come forward.
Okay, ladies, make your ways. We'll do the picture first, then we'll get into the speeches. Okay, put her in the center, and let's have a balance. Okay, we have too many cameras. Let's all look at April first in the center. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you. We'll start with Ms. Bowen, then we'll take turns.
No, I think it's just Arena.
Arena?
Arena?
Thank you, Chair and Board of Supervisors. I'm Irina Starodubtseff, Commissioner on the Status of Women, and we also are presenting Judy with a plaque from us. I applaud Captive Hearts for their work in this community, and I am glad that the Board of Supervisors was able to openly recognize you too. We are honored to be among worthy organizations like yours, whose focus is on building self-worth and helping individuals to grow in this community. I believe that sometimes our society measures success by how vibrant organizations or businesses run or how prosperous our community is. Yet, we know that Captive Hearts works tirelessly waiting for the day that they could put a sign on their door, closed for business, because they have successfully met the needs of each and every individual in this community, and there's no longer this need. Again, I thank you, Judy, for leading the charge in such a valuable program that serves as an important need to our individuals in this community. And I thank each and every board member that you have a recognition program in place to award organizations like Captive Hearts and others. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Donna Crocker, and I support Judy's selection for this Service to Women Award. I want you to know that your commission has been very busy this summer. The Mid-State Fair Community Pride Day, we were there. We invite you to come this Saturday for the day with Creative Women, where we will have a booth. And we have our brand new newsletter that we will leave with you. Irina has the copies, and she was also the editor. And we just want you to know that we're not slacking off and that we're having a really busy and good summer. Thank you.
Thank you.
What an honor today to stand here as one of the first of many, I'm sure, that will walk in my shoes in the future. But I want to thank you, the board. I want to thank my friends, my staff, those that have stood behind me and believed in my dreams. I'm quite a dreamer, and I can't do it all, but I just feel people are coming in now that can take the ball and run with it, that we can see a change on our coastline. We can see a change in lives that once they realize their worth, that can be upstanding women in our community. And I believe in them. I truly believe that everybody should have a second chance. And when they have the support of those in our community, there's no limitation to where we can go. Thank you so much.
Ms. Bowen, do we have any staff members or family members? I would like to have them stand up and be recognized. Thank you, ladies. With that, we'll follow our calendar for this morning. Next item is public comment period. And first request to speak is Mr. Fowler, followed by Andrea Caulfield. And Mr. Fowler, if you want to just pause for a second, we'll wait till the public is gone, so there'll be less noise. Last person living, would you please shut the door behind you? Close the door. Mr. Fowler?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Gary Fowler, Mill Street, San Luis Obispo City. I've given each of you a copy of the comments that I have this morning, and it's in reference to the action that you took on July the 25th regarding vehicle abatements. I'd like to make some suggestions to the board regarding the actions of the code enforcement personnel in regards to abating these vehicles. Although the ordinance resolution refers to public roads, there was no mention of public property, such as the airport, golf courses, parks, etc. The vehicle code does allow for such removal of vehicles from these locations, and I would assume the code enforcement personnel would take care of that. My main concern and interest is the cost to the taxpayers of the county. I furnished each of you with a copy in which the Highway Patrol over my past years, some 8 years ago now, handled the vehicle abatements and removal, and I was instrumental in setting up that program, and I would hope that the code enforcement personnel would take a look at the packets that I furnished. The vehicle code allows for the filing of a citation against the last registered owner of that vehicle per the section in the vehicle code. In addition, the code also allows for this person or company to pay for the abatement fee. We had an arrangement with the courts that I understand continues to this date that regardless if the party paid the fine for the abandonment, he was also to pay for the cost of removal and disposition of the vehicle. That fee was determined by county planning and was indicated when the letter was sent to the registered owner. So just by paying a fine to the county, which goes to the courts, the vehicle abatement fee to the county would go into the general fund or into some fund, hopefully to pay for additional removals. Should the party not respond when the citation was issued, per section 1209H of the vehicle code, a citation would be placed against the individual and a stop against his driver's license, and a hold would be placed on that license should he try to renew it. In over 95% of the cases, we were able to link the registered owner to a driver's license and take appropriate action. To this end, I would recommend the establishment of an enterprise or special account be established so that these collections can be tracked and placed into this fund so the taxpayers do not fund the removal and destruction of junk and abandoned vehicles. It's a simple process utilizing a computer program that is already established by the San Luis area of the Highway Patrol, and I would ask that on an annual basis the county ask to see the collection fees that are taken in. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Caulfield, followed by Eric Greening.
My name is Andrea Caulfield, and I live in Los Osos. I want to invite everyone to a festival in Morro Bay City Park in support of Senate Bill 840, Universal Health Care in California. The festival is August 12th from 1 to 3:30. There'll be entertainment, music, and food, and more. It'll be a lot of fun, and you can learn more about this important legislation. Please come and support health care for all in California. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Greening, followed by David Dugan.
I'm Eric Greening, and I endorse the comments of the previous speaker. That was actually on my list. This is a time, a very active time in the state legislature, and a lot is going on. I also would point out that this is a very critical time for Senate Bill 1632, which was brought to your attention by members of the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility last week. And certainly with Senate Bill 840, one of the most important factors about it, besides recognizing that the economy of scale and recognizing health care as part of civilized life, it also would end up being a job creator, because by removing the burden from employers of providing health care to employees, it actually allows for a lot of job creation and will probably benefit the county economically, both from the reduced per-person health care costs of a simpler, streamlined system and by the job creation that will result. I also know that the Blakesley bill is moving, and it keeps sort of changing its form as it moves, but I would hope that you would have an update perhaps next week. The concern I continue to raise, of course, is what the added responsibilities the county takes on may be necessary in relation to the community of Los Osos, but you do owe the other 94% of the people of this county some kind of explanation and reassurance as how other efforts are going to be maintained without you or your departments burning out or being stretched too thin. I would hate to think that your board time would equal the time you now spend on other county issues plus the amount of time the Los Osos CSD board spends in their meetings, often interminable meetings, not to mention the issue of how this would all be covered by radio station KCBX, who would pay for the extra time for AGP video, etc., and your own time, both serving the needs of your district and recharging your own batteries. These are things that should be talked about before the county gets into the position of taking over this project. Finally, I would like to ask that we have an agenda item to update us on the Bureau of Reclamation and the status of the threat that still unfortunately hangs over this county of a poison pipe to the ocean. Who is in settlement discussions with whom? Is there any way that the Central Coast can have any say on what comes out of this before it comes out? Or how do we be poised to act instantly if we get bad news coming out of a settlement of which we're not part? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Mr. Dugan, followed by Jesse Arnold.
David Eagle, Los Osos. That bill is not really changing hardly at all, if it's changed at all. 2701 will probably pass as is. There is a citizen committee that is trying to get changes done all the way down to the wire to include speaking to the governor's office. I'm looking a little further than that, how to work within the framework of 2701 and still protect the citizens of Los Osos. The next few weeks are going to be hard on a lot of people. A lot of people don't really understand what may happen. 2701 may adversely affect several thousand people. In a rush to site a system fast and damn the expense. I believe there's enough in the framework of 2701 where the citizens can keep watch on what this board is going to be doing. As of late, we don't really appreciate very much that the LOCSD has done or hasn't done. That may change in the near future within the next couple of weeks. All I do know is that 2701 is not friendly to Los Osos. Beyond that, there are, I don't think there's going to be very many people running for the CSD. I'm going to be going over there and letting them know I want to sign up to be a candidate today. I would like to hear from RLOCSD, who, if there are three people that are on the board that are up, are going to run, they haven't said too much about it. I think there's people out there who can do a better job. It was apparent the first few weeks out that this LOCSD didn't have the wherewithal or the political savvy to pull this off. And I think if the CSD survives dissolution, that it's going to need somebody on the board that understands administrative problems and how to pull it together to reorganize, depending on what the CSD leaves us. And I guess we were saying that about the last board, what they left us. Well, I think we have just as big of a train wreck with this CSD as we did with the last one, maybe two trains heading head on. So I'm looking for a voice of cooperation, communication, and compliance concerning the LOCSD wastewater project. And if elected, I will look forward to working with you. And whoever takes Shirley Bianchi's place, Bruce Gibson or Anderson, though I believe Los Osos is Gibson country. Thank you.
Mr. Arnold?
Thank you, Chairman Cacho and members of the board. I'm Jesse Arnold. I live in Cambria. I'm here to invite everyone to attend two upcoming meetings where genetic engineering will be on the agenda. The first one will be the County Health Commission on Monday, August 14th at 6 p.m. here in the Supervisor's Chambers on Monterey Street. The second one will be when Ag Commissioner Bob Lilly will come in and report to this board on genetically engineered crops. He's had discussions with grape growers and corn growers. He'll have various growers come and talk to you, including two organic growers. In contrast, the Health Commission group was put together. They put together what they called a GMO task force to study the health implications of genetic engineering. And unfortunately, they did not include anyone who's in favor of organic growing or anyone who had any reservations or opposition to genetic engineering. Therefore, it's not surprising that their GMO task force report is an unbalanced report. In response, local citizens put out their citizen response report. Your board has both of those. Your board also has the report from the Santa Cruz County Health Commission on genetic engineering. And as you know, in Santa Cruz County, that committee recommended a precautionary moratorium. The committee was not unanimous in that, but the Board of Supervisors took the recommendation and voted unanimously to have a precautionary moratorium there. I hope that you and all interested people will read all three reports so that you will get a balanced view on the subject, and that you will then, after you hear Bob Lilly's report, that you'll bring the subject of the health implications and the three reports that I've mentioned before this board for further discussion and possible action. The local citizen response, as the Santa Cruz report would like to see more certainly in labeling, knowing where the genetically engineered crops are, certainly keeping pharmaceutical crops segregated from food crops, keeping them in a greenhouse or some closed facility. There are all these things that we think need to be discussed. The GMO task force of the Health Commission said, take no position, take no action. We don't think that's adequate. We think there does need to be further discussion and certainly action by your board in favor of labeling. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was the last request to speak under public comment period. Mr. Graham, I have one for you, but it says consent agenda.
That's the topic of my public comment.
Okay, sir. Please come forward.
I am Terrell Graham. After having established my credentials in the previous meetings, it's time that we can begin from the beginning. And the beginning in the United States was the Declaration of Independence. This was an explanation to the European countries of why we were making war against Britain to declare our independence. And among the reasons that he declared to the Europeans was that they are ruling without our consent. There are two places on this that say a consent agenda item may be pulled by a member of the board. In the old days, it used to say it can be pulled by the board or a member of the public. But when I challenged Supervisor Ashajian about the rules that exist now with the rules that existed 3 years ago, he said it's different now. Also in our declaration were specifics about the separation of church and state. The Bush administration has brought the cross back into the temple of the people of America, which is our government. I appreciate people accepting any faith they choose, but it should be excluded from the hall of the people of the United States. It's in our Constitution. It's in our Declaration of Independence. Our consent is being lost by omission and neglect and a refusal by the administrators and the representatives of the government at every level in America. Atascadero, the Board of Supervisors, and the Presidency of the United States. He gave a speech on C-SPAN yesterday that I wish I had written down parts of, but it was challenging all of the principles that our nation has been built upon outside of oil developers and the British dollar-pound relationship. Thank you.
Thank you. With that positive note, we'll end our public comment period. We'll move on to our consent agenda. I don't have any requests to speak. Does anyone from the public wishes to comment on consent agenda items at this time? No one coming forward. Close it to the public. Bring it to the supervisors. Mr. Patterson, any items?
No, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Lentil?
No, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Bianchi?
None, thank you.
Care to make a motion then?
Move approval of consent.
Second.
Moved by Ms. Bianchi, seconded by Mr. Lentil. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bianchi.
Yes.
Mr. Lentil.
Aye.
Mr. Asajian.
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Patterson.
Aye.
Sorry.
Oh. With that, we'll move on to our public hearing items. First item, Madam Clerk.
Item C1 is a hearing to consider an appeal of the South County Road Improvement Fees by William and D. Rudd for the property located on Mesa View Drive, 4th District. Recommend denial of the appeal.
Thank you. With that, Mr. Marshall.
Thank you, Supervisor Asajian and members of the board. Richard Marshall, Department of Public Works. The item before you today involves a construction permit for conversion of an existing garage and guest house to a secondary dwelling unit and an appeal of the associated road improvement fee. The appellant's appeal letter is included with the staff report and responses are provided in our report. I'll summarize as follows. Some of the points of appeal deal with the specifics of this building permit, that it's not new construction but merely conversion of an existing structure, and that it will be occupied by family members and not result in additional traffic. And our response is that when this particular conversion happens, it changes from being a guest house, we characterize that sometimes as essentially a detached bedroom. And with the conversion to a secondary dwelling and full kitchen facilities, it is a complete standalone dwelling unit. Although it can be occupied by family members initially, and that's often people's intent when they do such a conversion, it clearly can be occupied by other folks over the life of the residence, and this is the appropriate time to charge the associated fee. Another point of appeal deals with the relationship between this minor activity, an individual building permit, and larger developments which are occurring throughout the South County area. And our response is primarily that all developments are required to pay this fee, large or small, and they are all being charged in proportion to their impact. Each new dwelling unit is charged the same fee regardless of who built it or how many units they're building. And finally, the point of appeal deals with which roads provide service to this particular residence. And we simply point out that the fee is going to pay for improvements to the major arterial and collector roads that serve the community and not necessarily the specific individual road that provides access to this or other properties that are subject to the fee. In this area, improvements are planned for Highway 1, Halcyon Road, El Campo, Los Barros, the major roads which serve this portion of the county. It's our recommendation that your board deny the appeal, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Marshall, as is a family person, can reside in this dwelling that exists, correct? As a guest house, does it have all the amenities for kitchen?
It already exists as a guest house, and the permit is to convert it to a secondary dwelling.
Have we taken into the formula any additional to charge for the additional square footage, or what's our practice?
For residential uses, we charge based on the number of dwelling units, not based on the square footage.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Marshall? Seeing none, this time we'll go to the appellant. Do you want to come forward and give us your name for the record, please? And
Thank you. Well, in the beginning, I think this...
Go ahead, give us your name for the record.
William Rudd.
Thank you, sir.
And I live at 1189 Maysfield Drive in Arroyo Grande. Now, this dwelling unit is... it's been a guest house since early 80s. And our boys are... bigger now, older. We're going to move them into kind of a separate quarters rather than in our house. It's just we're not adding anything to the road, no traffic, probably less traffic than there was before. We'd have company in the guest house, and our boys are in our house. So now the boys are going to be in this unit, and be less traffic, not more. And we're doing is converting an existing structure, turning a garage. Storeroom basically into a bedroom bathroom. Otherwise, everything else is the same. It's just going to be their house for them to take care of. I think the road fee is very inappropriate in this situation. I don't know what else I can say about it. I think that's probably it.
Thank you. Any questions from supervisors? Thanks for your comments, sir. We have come across these difficulties in the past. I know that we haven't granted any waivers for secondary dwellings, but anytime I personally come across adding to an existing structure, I always feel like there can be a different formula that can apply. Having said that, I'll look at my colleagues for a motion and or comments.
Anybody else from the public?
Nope. No request to speak.
Move for denial.
Motion to deny the appeal by Supervisor Bianchi, seconded by Supervisor Lentol. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Next item, please.
The next item is C2, a hearing to consider an appeal by the appellant Bill Freeman of the Planning Commission's decision of June 22, 2006 to deny a conditional use permit that would waive land use ordinance standards that prohibit an outdoor used car lot within a central business district. The proposed project is within the commercial retail land use category and is located at 1921 and 1941 Sienica Street in the central business district of the community of Oceano, 4th District. Recommend denial of the appeal.
Thank you. Would that be ladies or Mr. Stevens?
Thank you, Chairman and members of the board. Martha Nieder, County Planning. Here's a vicinity map of the project site, an aerial photo of the site, the proposed site plan, And here's a picture of the site. The proposed project is for an outdoor used car lot. The site is surrounded by residential multifamily units in the rear of the property across the alley, a restaurant to one side of it, a medical office and market on the other side. Across the street is the commercial service land use category, and here is, I'll do a series of pictures across the street. This is a used car lot located in the, again, in the commercial service land use category. And then there's a variety of uses, many of them automotive services. And again, the project site. The land use ordinance allows vehicle dealerships within a central business district, provided that all vehicles are stored, displayed, and serviced entirely within a building. And the main reason for this requirement is that a central business district is provides areas for a concentration of businesses, and they're really thought of as the typical downtowns of areas. The placement of buildings directly along the sidewalk are one of the key components in making these areas successful and creating the pedestrian and shopping activity that's crucial to these areas. The requirement to locate the vehicles entirely within the building may be modified if the review authority makes certain findings, and those findings are that there are specific conditions of the site that make this requirement unnecessary, and that the project meets all other mandatory findings of conditional use permits. The Planning Commission, on a vote of 5-0, denied the request for modification based on the findings listed in your packet, and I'll go through a short summary of those findings. One of the mandatory findings for approval of conditional use permits is that the project will not be inconsistent with the character of the immediate neighborhood or contrary to its orderly development. As you can see from the slide, the commercial retail area is shown in red, and this provides a buffer area between the residential multifamily area, which is in the brown color, and the commercial service and industrial color categories, which are in the purple and the gray areas. Allowing an outdoor used car dealership similar to the ones across the street in the commercial service land use category would effectively remove the buffer area that the commercial retail land use category provides between the multifamily and the commercial service area, and therefore the project does not provide for the orderly development of the area. Another mandatory finding is that the project is consistent with the general plan. The framework for planning describes the purpose and character of central business districts. The purpose and character is to provide these centralized locations for stores, offices, and service establishments that are scaled to meet the neighborhood needs. Again, the placement of buildings directly on the sidewalk is one of the key components of creating this area that creates the pedestrian shopping experience and the concentration of businesses. An indoor auto dealership would provide this opportunity. Also part of the general plan is the Oceano-specific plan. The Oceano-specific plan was adopted in April of 2002, and it contains a program for future development of this area. And this is the downtown concept plan that was part of the Oceano-specific plan. And as you can see for the project site, it shows buildings directly located along the street here. The specific plan also provides guidelines as to the orientation and design of buildings in the downtown area. In general, the guidelines call for the placement of buildings along the front property line with lighting that complements the overall site design. The project is proposing to use this existing building here, which is located approximately 70 feet back from the front property line. Here's an example of the lighting that is proposed to be used. This is a 20-foot high light standard. The specific plan also requires that the design of all landscapes be of professional quality and a major component of any parking area. The proposed project shows landscaping along about half of the side property lines here and along the front. There's no landscaping shown inside this paved area, which would be used for car display and parking, or in this back area. The specific plan also requires that expansing paved areas are avoided in favor of small multiple parking lots separated by landscaping and buildings. And again, the proposed site plan shows a large paved area. The specific plan requires that chain link fencing is not a preferred fencing material and that solid masonry should be used. The land use ordinance also requires that between a commercial use and a residential category that there be solid fencing, which slatted chain link fencing does not qualify as solid fencing per the land use ordinance. The project is proposing chain link fencing as well as a couple access gates here for the alley. There's no access gate between the front half and the back half, so it's assumed that this portion of the property would only be accessed from the alley, which has multifamily behind it. Based on the information provided, the Planning Commission found that the project was not consistent with the Oceano-specific plan. And then finally, the finding for making the modification specifically is that there weren't conditions of the site or the vicinity that make this condition unreasonable or unnecessary. And that's because the site is located between a restaurant and a medical office and adjacent to multifamily residences. And that locating the vehicles inside a building are necessary to prevent the incompatibilities between the uses. The applicant appealed the Planning Commission's decision based on the contention that the approval of the project is for the community's better interest in growth and that the Planning Commission's decision was based on a defunct plan. For the first appeal issue, I'll go back to this slide, which shows that the property is located within this commercial area, which provides a buffer between the multifamily and commercial service areas. Typically, or ideally, the buffer area would be larger. It would be more than half of a block. But because this is the reality in which we're working in, it's important to keep that hard edge so that we don't have incompatible uses so close to each other, and we can retain a transition area. In their consideration of the project, the Planning Commission also compared this area to other areas that have highways going through them. There's a lot of talk about the kind of traffic and uses on this stretch of the road. And what we find throughout California, and for Highway 1 in particular, it goes through many small towns in which trucks and delivery traffic as well as residential traffic is forced to slow down, and that does happen quite commonly. In our area in particular, just a couple of examples are Arroyo Grande, which has the highway going through, which their downtown and their main street has been very successful in uses and pedestrian activities. And there's still a large volume of traffic, but with the concentration of uses and activities, the traffic is slowed and they're compatible. And you can see that there still are large trucks in that bypass through here. The area which the Planning Commission thought was kind of most similar to this area in Oceano was the area of Santa Margarita. And you can see from this slide that there's some service uses on one side of Highway 58. On the other side, there's more kind of commercial retail restaurants and shops moving in. And that as these shops move in, the nature of the area changes, and the Planning Commission quoted that traffic has slowed and there is definitely a difference in character and feeling happening in this area, and it's becoming more of a traditional downtown. The Planning Commission also felt that while there may be these automotive and commercial service uses there, we're looking at where the area is going in the future and how we can implement those planning goals. The second appeal issue is that the Planning Commission's decision is based on a near-defunct plan, which is not reasonable for the property. Again, the specific plan was adopted by the Board of Supervisors in April of 2002. It's the most recently adopted specific plan in the county, and it was adopted after several years of community involvement. And when we go through planning efforts, we really target a broad spectrum of the community, and we target people that typically aren't involved in the planning process so that we can make sure that we incorporate everybody's goals and visions and values into this plan. had numerous town hall meetings and public hearings, and that developed into the specific plan that provides this overall framework for implementing the values and visions. The specific plan is adopted and an effective part of the general plan. Staff recommends denial of the requested modification based on the findings in Exhibit A, and this concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Supervisor Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Nieder, could you briefly explain the difference between commercial service and commercial retail? I know one side of the street is commercial retail and the other side is commercial service. Maybe give some examples of what would be appropriate in one zoning and what's allowed in the other zoning.
In commercial service, you would have more of the uses that you've seen, the automotive service type uses, a little more manufacturing type and industrial type of uses. In the commercial retail area, you would see more retail shops, more restaurants, smaller scale, things that people typically would maybe park once and walk to and visit a variety of retail establishments.
And the use behind the site in question is predominantly residential, both multifamily and single family?
It's multifamily, correct.
Multifamily. How far back does that go with that, the beginning of the residential?
It's right across area. The alley, right.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions, comments? Seeing none. Did you want to add something,
Mr. Chairman? Maybe at the appropriate time, Chuck Stevenson with planning. We did receive a copy of a letter from the appellant that was addressed to your board members on July 18th, and we did have some comments in response to some of the points in that letter that might clarify some of the discussion that will occur. So, if you'd like, I can go through those points now.
Why don't you go through that way? We'll give the applicant an opportunity to comment when it's their turn.
One of the first comments that's made is that the plan presents an unrealistic vision, and as Ms. Nieder explained, this process for developing the Oceano-specific plan was the result of significant public involvement. I remember when we first began the process, we had a national recognized leader in downtown design, a gentleman by the name of Anton Nellison, who, among other things, sort of brought about the visual preference survey. Well, we were fortunate enough to have Mr. Nellison with us for several days in Oceano with an intensive several-day workshop with residents, and that was very productive. That plan was really the basis for what went in eventually to our county specific plan for Oceano, and it really truly represented a broad spectrum of community residents and their vision for the community. There was a comment that in the letter that an expectation of redirecting traffic or somehow scaling down traffic on Highway 1, a trucking supply route, is unrealistic at local, county, or state level. We're not proposing that any truck route be redirected as a result of this. There's only one reference in the specific plan under the noise and access section that talks about truck routes should be reviewed periodically to fit the changing dynamics of the community. So it's simply a concern that was expressed by residents about the noise related to truck traffic, and that we should look at that periodically. But in terms of this permit, the notion that somehow this is the trucking will go away and it would diminish the value of a pedestrian corridor is not correct. This is the entrance to the downtown area, if you will, and it is a form of a corridor gateway. And so you're advised as decision makers to show concern and care about what kinds of uses occur at the entrance to the downtown area. the appellant indicates that as a part of his project, he would be installing curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and that would improve that area. And that would be true of any use that goes in. The ordinance does require curb, gutter, and sidewalk for any building that would go in, so that's not a particular advantage. And there's a mention about debate of whether the Oceano-specific plan has jurisdiction over this property. And as Ms. Nieder articulated, that this is part of the general plan and it was adopted by your board several years ago. It does have jurisdiction. It is within the Oceano Airport area, but that really relates to more high-intensity uses where there'd be a lot of residents. For instance, a motel or hotel or multifamily might be of a concern if it's in the direct flight path, but this is not the case. There was a reference to the type of fencing that they're proposing, and I think Ms. Nieder mentioned that chain link fencing is not appropriate. Even with wood slats, that's not considered a solid fence. And I think I would sum up by just reminding your board that not too long ago, I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, the planning department was criticized pretty harshly in the Tribune relative to a used car lot that was approved across the street in commercial service zone. The different facts in that case was that that was an allowable use. It was not subject to this appeal. However, community residents were very vocal in criticizing the department for continuing to approve used car lots in Oceano. And the concern was this proliferation of used car lots. And so that led partly to our sensitivity in this report about too many used car lots that might occur in that area. And then lastly, I would just caution your board that these kinds of uses that occur in downtown commercial core areas, if they are approved, they do erode a bit our ability to say no to the next one that comes in the central business district. So just a word of caution on the precedent-setting nature. That concludes my comments. Thanks.
Thank you. Comments, questions from supervisors? Seeing none.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I can jump in just briefly, Cammie Griffin, County Planning. Supervisor Patterson asked a question, kind of a context question, about where this site is in location to the residential areas of the community. And we do have a map that shows, if I can get the...
You know, some of those... this is a good map. We can see the previous maps. We can hardly see anything on the screen. It's too bright. I don't know if technicians need to look into that or not.
The hand is in the general location of the site. As you can see, all behind it is that brown color. I don't know what color it is on your screen, but it's supposed to be a brown color, and that's the residential multifamily of the community, and the yellow color is the residential single family of the community. So you can tell this strip of commercial retail really is the buffer between the commercial service and industrial uses that are in the purple and gray color, and then the residential uses of the community.
Okay, with that, we'll go to Mr. Freeman as the appellant or representative. If you'll come forward, please give us your name for the record. And sure.
Go up right here.
Chairman Cacho, board members, thank you for this opportunity. We are here discussing the car lot as described to you. I'd like to touch a little bit briefly on the project description, if we can go to the site plan. The whole property is approximately a third of an acre, about 18,500 square feet. And the portion that we're talking about developing or altering is only 9,000 square feet of that. The two structures that are there have new roofs on them already. We are creating a used car lot, a new business to the area, bringing the current structure up to code, providing handicap bathrooms, providing handicap ramps. As I mentioned, we're paving approximately half of the site for parking and display of the cars, as well as handicap parking. The requirement that Ms. Nieder speaks of regarding substantial landscape within the parking area, this lot is too small to break up the parking area. You would virtually have nothing left. Our parking area that we're proposing is less than the neighboring property to us. In addition, we are providing landscaping with low-impact water use And this was designed by Farm Supply, a professional company, in accordance with the guidelines in the code. Exterior lighting, as Ms. Nieder showed, is appropriate with code. We are adding a sidewalk and an approach apron as approved by Caltrans. And I beg to differ, that is a benefit because none exists at this time. There is no way to walk from Chacho's restaurant to the market and to the doctor's clinic without going into the street or walking in dirt. So I beg to differ. We are providing an improvement there. As mentioned, this property lies within the Oceano Specific Plan and within the Central Core Business District, albeit toward the perimeter. Can we go to the specific plan map? There you go. And can you go to the APN map? The next one, Bill. What's unique about this, or what's different from the real central business district, is that this is where Highway 1 turns and the road widens. It becomes a 45-mile-an-hour speed limit. It's high truck access. To the northwest is a loading dock. To the southeast is agricultural trucks. The flow of trucks through that area is much higher than Arroyo Grande as presented and much different than Santa Margarita, which I'll touch on in just a second. The property is zoned for commercial retail and allows automobile dealerships. I'd like to be clear on this. We are not asking for a zoning change. We are asking to do a business that is already allowed within the code. What we are seeking is an exception to the provision that requires all the cars to be stored within a building. Doesn't seem feasible, and it's not realistic. Under section 22.3.110, we can have an outdoor sales lot with exception D of this code if we meet all the standards of 22.30530. We meet all those standards. We have complied with everything that the code asks for within that. The objections for the Planning Commission, as mentioned, is that it does not involve building placement on the front of the property and, in their opinion, enhance pedestrian use. Well, the buildings are already existing and were a previous commercial use. We're not altering that. All we're actually doing is putting down some paving. And my reason for saying pedestrian use is not highly realistic is, as I mentioned, the street widens. It becomes a high-speed street at that point in time. You've got lots of truck traffic. That is even mentioned in the Oceano Specific Plan. It's a 112-page report, which I read thoroughly, and it mentions several times that they have no expectation of lowering traffic. And, in fact, quote, that the roadway would support an increase in traffic. The neighboring businesses, which happen to be a doctor's clinic, which happen to be a grocery store, which happen to be the restaurant that they're showing right now, which is a takeout restaurant, none of that is what you would consider pedestrian-friendly or the window shopping environment that the Planning Commission speaks of. The businesses across the street, as they mentioned, are tire stores, body shops, and yes, there is a car lot in that commercial services district, but there's a big difference between that car lot and the one that we're proposing. In the district, in the commercial service, they can do mechanical repair there. They can work on cars and provide services. We cannot do that on the property that we're applying for. We're not seeking the license. We don't have the mechanics for it. That's not the type of business. We are doing exactly what the code states, which is commercial retail. That's what we're asking for. There are other objections, is that we weren't providing service scaled to meet the local needs. Well, I disagree with that. We would be providing moderately priced cars, not Ferraris, not Porsches. We're providing cars that would be used in the area. And in addition to that, we would be using the local businesses and the tire shops and the body shops, and we would be generating more business for the area. The other objection from planning was the project does not provide building placement, creating a welcoming feeling. And they, again, compare us to the car lot across the street. The car lot across the street, because it's in commercial service, has chain link fence all the way up on the front, and it looks like a prison with the barbed wire on top of it. We are going to provide an open air, clean shopping environment where couples can walk around with a soda or a milkshake and enjoy the beautiful weather down there and shop for a car. So we are providing an open area to shop. Their claim is that the Planning Commission's claim is that we do not provide professional landscape. Well, again, it was designed by Farm Supply in complete accordance with 22.30.530 sections A, 2, and C, which require a 5-foot-wide planting strip with queen palms. We were told by the Planning Commission that queen palms were not allowed. Well, it's absolutely on your recommended tree list, so apparently it is allowed. We have approved vines and ground cover. And again, the property is not big enough to provide separate parking place. You can hardly turn a car around there once you park a few on there. So I don't feel that that's reasonable. The Planning Commission mentions that it's not consistent or it is contrary to development of the area. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, there's been no development on that area in that area for 15 years. We are commercial retail. That's what it is zoned for. That's what we are asking. They speak of the buffer zone. That is exactly what we would be providing, is the buffer zone that they speak of. You have commercial services across the street. We would have a very quiet business. If we were highly successful, we would be selling 20 to 30 cars a month, which would mean 4 to 5 customers in there a day. We would have minimal impact to the traffic in the area. We would have minimal to no impact to the multifamily behind us, and we would have no impact on the surrounding businesses. And I point out that we have a petition here from all the surrounding businesses that has been given to you in support of this project. The planning staff says that conditions do not exist that warrant this exception. I respectfully disagree. The width of the street, the traffic speed, the truck traffic, the neighboring businesses, and the cross street businesses, again, all who have endorsed this plan. I hate to sound repetitive, but many of the findings seem to be repetitive in nature and looking for a pedestrian-type use in the area. I feel that it is an erroneous comparison when they compare us to Santa Margarita. Highway 101 was diverted out of Santa Margarita. It is not a major truck thoroughfare. And their comparison to Arroyo Grande doesn't have near the truck traffic going through the old town of Arroyo Grande that exists on Highway 1 at this juncture. We meet all the requirements for the exception as allowed under both of those codes, 22.30.330 and 22.30.530. We are only asking for an exception to the provision of requiring indoor storage of vehicles. I don't feel that that's rational. There's none in the county. Go downtown the city of San Francisco.
We need you to summarize, please. Your time is up.
Yes, sir. There is none there, and I haven't seen any in 24 years. Our project has been approved and endorsed unanimously by the Oceano Advisory Council, not once, not twice, but 3 times. In fact, Mr. Robleson appeared at the Advisory Council, and they gave him his endorsement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I need your name for the record before you leave, please.
I'm sorry?
Your name for the record.
I'm sorry. Don Peterman. I live in Paso Robles. I'm a partner with Mr. Freeman in the project.
Okay. Mr. Freeman.
Yes.
Do you have anything to add to it?
Just to summarize, we're not looking for a car lot like across the street. That's commercial services. We're looking for something like Mr. Renault has up in Paso Robles where I work right now. It is a clean, sharp, friendly place. We have people there Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, walking around drinking soda pops and ice creams, especially in the heat in the summertime, and then they go to go on their shopping. And as you can see, there is a one-stop, just a little grocery store, liquor store right next door to it. It still helps to have people walking around. That's and I think the last thing is just that we are totally supported by Chacho's, Central Market, Oceano Inn. I walked the whole street, a couple places that weren't open, and there's a lot of closed businesses down there. So I couldn't get their signatures, but talking with the community and the Pacific Plan, talking to the actual businesses down there, said the problem with the Pacific Plan being generated is all the meetings, most of the meetings were, this is their comment, not mine, because I was not there.
I was there.
Okay, was at 10 o'clock in the morning or later in the afternoon, and these people are all business people. And they're, okay. So, I mean, there's always excuses, but the fact is that the community is in total support of our project.
Yeah, no, those were different hours and even on weekends, so we can make it all walks of Oceano be able to be present and speak their mind. But I wouldn't use that argument, but we'll come back to our comments. Anything else to add, sir?
That's all, sir.
Okay, at this time I will close it to the repellent, open it to the public. Mr. Bookout.
Good morning. Bill Bookout, Oceano Nursery. Oceano Nursery is a botanical garden in Oceano, a nursery, a gift shop, an antique shop. I opened my nursery up 6 years ago on Highway 1 and 13th and Paso Robles Street. Many of you are familiar with who I am. I have a dream for Oceano, and I see a future for Oceano, and the county's help in that future of Oceano is greatly appreciated. This car lot that's proposed for Oceano is a great benefit for Oceano. This car lot is in an area that's a dangerous section of Highway 1. It's very fast traffic going through there, and it's not part of the central business district that the Oceano Specific Plan talks about. The Oceano Specific Plan has actually been a hindrance to Oceano. It's too many guidelines for the residents of Oceano, and it's stopping the development of Oceano. The Oceano Advisory members, many of them were very, very much involved with the Oceano Specific Plan. The general manager of Oceano, Mitch Cooney, voted for the car lot. The executive secretary, Gina Davis, voted for the car lot. The airport manager, Tom Rambler, voted for the car lot. They see the future of Oceano. These are residents of Oceano. Barbara Mann, OCSD director, voted for the car lot. We want to see a future in Oceano. Recently, the county denied a building right down the street from mine, the Old Eagles Lodge. A gentleman had it in escrow. He wanted to buy the property. He wanted to buy the property next door. The county denied a 50 by 100-foot property that had been an Eagles fraternity lodge where they served food, they served drinks, and they had hundreds of people in that building because they said, well, to do a business, he wanted to do a restaurant. To do a business here, you have to have 20 parking spots. I'm sorry. There's no place like that to have 20 parking spots. Mr. Freeman has proposed parking spots. He has got a nice proposal for the community of Oceano. Across the street from this Old Eagles Lodge, you have Union Pacific Railroad property, plus John Taylor owns property over there. It's commercial retail property, and they're storing trucks on Highway 1. That is not commercial retail. On the other side of Oceano, there's a guy selling cars without a county permit, and he's got signs up on them. Where Mr. Freeman is proposing his car lot, it benefits the community of Oceano, and it's what's around that neighborhood. If the county has a different plan for Oceano, possibly blight, you know, changing the structure of the community, then the county is going to have to put money into Oceano. And thank you very much.
Does anyone else wish to speak on this item from the public? Seeing no one approaching, any closing remarks from appellant? And we always need your name for the record before you speak.
Don Peterman, I'm from Paso Robles. I'm a partner with Bill. I would just like to point out that before we went into this project, my partner Bill spoke with people at the planning staff, such as Mr. Robleson. I've spoken with Mr. Robleson on at least two occasions myself, and we were told that, yes, this would be a difficult project to get through, but it is definitely doable. And we can actually provide our notes on that, on who we spoke with. Mrs. Griffin was one of the people that we spoke with. Mrs. Griffin even suggested that we possibly propose within 5 years adding a building to the front that would help hide some of it. We were in agreement with such a proposal like that. Ms. Nieder was not. I think that we've gone through the proper steps. I think we've demonstrated that we can build a good-looking project. My partner, Mr. Freeman, his construction company has won the Obispo Beautiful Award on multiple occasions. I think we've done the proper things. We deserve the project. More importantly, I think the people of Oceano deserve this project and improvement in their community. Thank you very much.
Before you leave, Supervisor Lentil has a question.
Mr. Speaker, I have a question. It came up with respect to your landscaping plan, and I also recognize Farm Supply. They're experts in different things. I'm not sure they're quite landscapers, but that's neither here nor there. Would you be willing to change to some masonry? Some issues came up with chain link fencing as opposed to a masonry wall or a fence or something that looks a little less than just the typical car lot with a chain link fence around across the street when you're landscaping.
We would absolutely be willing to look at different options. Mrs. Griffin had suggested vines to grow up and cover the fence. In speaking with the sheriff's department down there, they were against a solid block wall fence because it created hardships for them patrolling the area and
visibility.
Visibility and places for graffiti and things such as that. I understand why the car lot across the street has the big chain link fence and the razor wire on top. We're not going for that. We haven't applied for that. Frankly, the risk is on us, and we're hoping that by improving the area, it will do that, just that, improve the area.
I guess my comment is more, I'm looking for some middle ground here.
Absolutely.
I don't necessarily want a 6-foot wall that you can't see, but I think there are some things that can be done with walls, with gates, with access, and I believe, Chuck, you mentioned some of those things. And my concern is we all want to have something that's nice down there, and I commend the fact that you have all the neighbors, you know, that are supporting this. But if it seems to me if the issue is on some landscaping or chain link fence things, if there was something that you could come back through county staff and say, look, we don't want to make a fortress, but we do want to make something that looks nice, that there is room for not a 6-foot wall and not a chain link fence, I guess is the direction.
Absolutely. Any suggestions they have, we would be more than willing to comply. And I'd also like to correct one thing Mrs. Nieder said about that fence. There is a gate going to the back of the property, and we have no intention of using the alleyway as an access. That's the gates for the alleyway are just already existing. But we're very open to any suggestions. If they want a wood fence, whatever they would like. Again, Mrs. Griffin suggested whatever fence we have vines grow or some kind of landscaping to help provide a different appeal to it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Freeman, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was going to suggest that
Freeman, you always have to give us your name for
that. My name is Bill Freeman, the applicant. I've seen in the past it looks really nice. They put up a 3-foot masonry wall, and then they put chain link screening above that. And they graduate it up, so it would be 3-foot masonry, and then the masonry would continue up, and then they would jump it up to 6 feet back so the police can see inside. You still plant your vines and stuff, so you still have... And we're trying to beautify the fence. We just don't want an ugly wall sticking up there. We want to make it look nice, like they've done a lot of San Luis Obispo.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Patterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, want to ask staff.
Do you have any questions to Mr. Peters or Mr. Freeman?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Let me then close.
Can I get the PowerPoint presentation that the appellant gave us for the record, please? Thank you.
He'll get it for you. Let me officially close it to the public at this time and bring it back to supervisors, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The appellant made reference a number of times to meeting all of the criteria, and they could be granted an exception if they did that. And he referred, I think, specifically to Chapter 22.3. I wanted to ask staff the ramifications of that, because we were told that the conditions were met, and if they were met, then an exemption could be given, and they could have that use on that site. Could you explain that, please?
I'll try and bring up what the applicant showed, because if I remember correctly, it was standards for outdoor retail sales. that he had brought up, and this is a different use group. This is automotive dealership. And so those standards that he was citing weren't standards that if you would meet, you would be granted the modification. The process for getting the modification is what I explained in the... Sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once. In my presentation is that the review authority makes the findings that there's a specific condition on the site that makes the requirement unnecessary and that all mandatory findings can be made. So I think this is what is on the screen now is what the applicant showed, which is outdoor retail sales, which is a different use category altogether.
Okay, and those were the findings that the Planning Commission could not make. Is
correct.
Is that correct? Okay. This is really a tough situation, and I'll tell you what my struggle is with it, and that is that certainly the community could use economic development, no question there, no argument there. The question becomes, how do we get there? And the community worked tirelessly, really, over a long period of time to develop a vision for what they wanted for their downtown community. And the biggest problem with reaching that objective is when we have projects that come in and sort of prevent that kind of reaching that kind of goal. And I want to respond to a couple of comments made about Santa Margarita and a highway traveling through the community. Highway 58 travels right through the heart of Santa Margarita, and what they have done is essentially what the specific plan for Oceano is trying to do, and that's keep the higher density pedestrian-friendly type of uses on one side of the highway, and on the other side of the highway they do have some commercial service type activities. They have a lumber yard, they have an RV sales and a service station, and they have that same challenge with high-speed traffic going through, but they are beginning to accomplish that goal of, at least on one side of the highway, developing that pedestrian-friendly type of user-friendly community. And the other issue that I see happening here is shown by example in Atascadero. Over the years, there have been practically any use allowed in the downtown, and now that they're trying to rehabilitate the downtown core of Atascadero, they have part of the community redeveloping and building and creating this pedestrian-friendly, user-friendly, walkable-type community, but they still have some of the carryover of the past that's really impeding the development of the community in a way that now the community wants to move. And we have used car lots, muffler shops, automotive service stations in the downtown core amidst all this new type of development. And my concern here is that while a used car lot may bring some economic development to Oceano on the short term, on the long term, it well may prevent the community from moving into the kind of central business core that they want to have there. And from the maps that we've seen tonight, it looks like it was well-defined and well-laid out, and you've got those types of commercial retail uses really on both sides of this site here, and I don't know how appropriate it is to drop that down in the middle of those commercial retail uses. It really, I think, in the long term, impedes the development of what Oceano ultimately wants to see, and I think it would be more appropriate to keep it on the commercial services side of the highway and let that section of the community develop the way the community had envisioned that to happen. So I tend to side with the Planning Commission on this and really look at the long-term view of what the community wants in their downtown. And the only thing that I would be willing to, and again, you plop something down on the land and it's there, and you end up having to work around it, and I think it impedes the type of orderly development that you want. And I don't know how you get around that. It's a tough call, and my feeling is that it really ought to stay in commercial services and that we shouldn't make an exception and put it in commercial retail where there are other better appropriate uses for that space.
This project is in commercial retail. The cross street is commercial service.
Correct.
No, I heard that. It should be kept in commercial service and not put in commercial retail.
I'll add my comments on, but I'll wait. Ms. Bianchi?
In this case, although I will be siding with the Planning Commission, actually I will be siding with the majority of the people in Oceana who spent so much time helping to put together this specific plan for the community. And, I've been around long enough to know that oftentimes a specific plan for a community doesn't exactly coincide with the desires of individuals. And it's always the desire then of the individual says that the specific plan is unrealistic. Well, it's unrealistic for the desires of the individual, not necessarily for the desires of the community. And I think that distinction has to be made. So in this instance, I'm siding with the majority of the residents of Oceana.
Do you have something to add, Ms. Lonto?
I was just going to say I'm still back to trying to look at if we can find some middle ground here. I think there are some extenuating circumstances, and what I would propose is, and I'm sensitive to the concerns that Supervisor Patterson addressed earlier, but is there a way we could do some type of conditional permit for 5 years to see, because as this community evolves, then they could go back and look at this thing, see what the neighbors really think about this. We have 17, I believe, people that are business owners on the same street that are supporting this. But it seems to me that this could be a test case to see if there is a problem being the buffer, if there is a problem with the residential neighborhood, how they interact and do things. And we heard earlier discussion about having a five-year plan or something for additional business. That coupled with a change or improving in some of the landscaping or the walls to really make this look nice, to give it a fair shake and see if this is something that benefits the community or something that doesn't. And I would certainly support that if we could come up with some type of language that would support, I guess for lack of a better term, either a conditional permit for 5 years or something that's reviewed, and I would defer to County Council to help me out here.
If the board can make the findings to grant the appeal in the first place, it would have to be by a tentative motion, and there has been no environmental process here, so you'd have to go through the environmental process. I think the five-year condition, the devil would probably be in the details, and you'd probably want to think about what standard you'd set up at the end of 5 years in terms of would you allow another 5 years if certain standards were met? Would you allow 10 years? It's certainly something within the authority of the board. I think the difficulty would be working out the terms of that type of a condition.
Thank you. I guess before we go any further, I would ask the appellant here if they're even interested in pursuing that. And if not, then it's kind of a moot point. But
well, let's make a quick question, then we'll get to – I need to speak as well, Mr. Peters.
Yes, we would
– Again, your name for the record.
My name's Don Peterman. Again, Peterman. The project from Pass Rolls. We would definitely be interested in that. And I would only like to say that I have right here the codes, and we are complying with the specific plan. A direct quote, outdoor use display storage of vehicles is allowed subject to the standards of Section 2230530 sales lots. It is allowed provided we meet these guidelines right here. And we've met every one of those. So I'm not contrary to the specific plan. We're going right along with it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, since that was brought up, we actually have that section up on the screen if we could shift it, because it goes on to say, except that outdoor display or storage of any product or material by a vehicle dealership except vehicles for sale is prohibited in a commercial retail category. So it's clear that the idea in a commercial retail category is that you don't have outdoor display.
Thank you. Every community has its own character, and I've participated with the specific plan, and I wouldn't compare Oceano to Rio Grande, nor would I compare Rio Grande to Pismo, nor I would compare Pismo to San Miguel. You have different communities, different traffic patterns, proximity to the freeways, the population that exists, the residents, their desires. I give a lot of credit to the folks who work on a specific plan. A specific plan starts with a piece of paper on a table, as we did with the members of the community, is what is your desire for Oceano? Obviously, we all have desires. But there's time that the reality comes into the picture. And the reality is the size of the properties, where they're located, what has been some of the improvements that has taken within a community. And as a local business person in Rio Grande, I know how many years we work very hard to make the village of Rio Grande what it is. And the constant arguments back and forth with Caltrans, should it be Highway 227 or how we can get rid of 227. So it's not always pleasant to have a highway coming through your town. Now, if this was on the other side of Oceano, such as on Pier Street, I will be more supportive of the staff's recommendation, because that is an area where you have more of a tourist attraction coming in for food and other tourist-related sales and retail. And to me, retail always meant that you sell a product, you collect sales tax, and that's retail. Otherwise, it's wholesale. And services are the labor you offer. For the size of the property, and when you look at the next-door commercial use, yes, it's retail, but we also have a doctor's office that has nothing to do with commercial service and or retail. Downtown, yes, we would like to see what we can dream of it being it someday, but can we afford to keep the lots vacant forever till the economy is better or till Oceano is discovered on a different level than we think it should be with the help of the residents? And residents and their mentality change as time goes on. Different maturity kicks in. Times of the economy tells us what we can or cannot do. I did take a walk with Mr. Robinson and the chairwoman of Advisory Council on this site just to get a feeling of what we were talking. As it is, it stands as either a vacant line or I think it's a storage for landscaping materials. So that is the choice as we speak, because the size of the lot, it does not permit you to bring in, let's say, if we want to have a commercial retail, if that's a restaurant, where would you park the cars? For the size of the commercial need or your return on your investment to do something nice, it's going to take the entire property, and that keeps parking out of the structure or outside the property, and there is no place else to park, because yes, we also don't want any cars parked, we don't want overnight camping, we want the speed change, but we can do that because it's in the purview of Caltrans. There are a lot of complicated issues that by the time you're able to put one and one together, you have lost a customer. For those reasons, and I don't look at the, if this was a whole-blown car dealership that said it's there for stay forever, because on Grand Avenue, which is as attractive as downtown Oceano or any place else, used car lots are what you see come and go and relocate themselves. You do see a lot of full-blown car dealerships maintain their locations and improve on their services as time goes on. So if this business is not to be successful, they're going to move on. And if somebody comes and offers them for the businesses that we think it should be there someday, if they're able to locate on that location, again, size of the property does dictate at what can go in and what cannot go, just simply because of other requirements, just because you qualify for the zoning and the four size of the property that you have and the size of business you want to bring in someday, you might not be able to do it just because other requirements that you can't meet. And having sat with the advisory councils and their willingness to see this operation come into it, and have worked very hard with Mr. Stevenson and others to on the specific plan, it is a difficult decision, but in the long run, to see what the area offers and how does it complement it other existing businesses, I think it's a touch of architect. For that, I personally can't support this project. And to give them a year or 5 years, it's going to be their own decision, because if they cannot make it, they will move on and it will be available for another business to move in. again, I understand where some of my colleagues are coming from. As you have a specific plan, stick to it. But I don't think we can really stick to it. That's why we have opportunities for landlords to come and ask for change of zoning, which is not the case here, simply because the times have changed, the traffic pattern has changed, the desires have changed, the needs have changed, and the whole economy has done a 180 or 360 on us. For those reasons, I would support this to go forward with some modifications to the landscaping, the fencing. I'm sure they want to have a business that they feel very proud of it. And it might add one or two salespeople. The cars that are pretty much what you see bought and sold within a neighborhood, I'm okay with it as is for the time being with some decorative touches, so to say, to go along with the fencing and otherwise. Mr. Lentil?
Well, thank you. If there's no other comments, then I would like to propose a motion. My motion is that we approve the appeal, be a tentative motion, as County Council has indicated, be a tentative motion to approve the appeal and to come back with stipulations. I like a 5-year window myself because I think that gives everybody opportunity to look at this. The specific language obviously will be worked out. But I'm also concerned that we have something that county staff says is appealing, is something that fits in with the neighborhood, this combination of masonry and wrought iron fence or chain link fence or gates or things of that nature and landscaping. I think you really need to have a professional landscape plan drawn up so you can come back to us and say, here are the conditions that we've agreed to with county staff, and so there's no ambiguity here of what's expected on you folks to make this a real showpiece that obviously is going to increase the chance of you succeeding in the business.
Are you going to continue to, or uphold to a date specific?
This will have to be referred to the environmental coordinator for an environmental review, so I think that you should have a date specific for the continued hearing, but it may have to be a while down the road.
What is the environmental review going to do with this?
It's going to look at the potential environmental impacts of this project going in that location. And whether or not it would be a negative declaration or something else, I don't know.
This has been in the process for quite a long time. What time frame are we talking about?
In order to meet noticing requirements in the worst-case scenario, which would be a negative declaration that had state agency involvement and needed clearinghouse notice, probably the quickest we could come back would be November 7th.
Why are we even going for environmental review?
Well, this is a project under CEQA and does require environmental review, and there could be a determination made that it qualifies for some kind of an exemption under the law. But, absent making that determination or knowing that, it's difficult to say, so we would have to make that worst-case assumption.
The reason it made it this far without the environmental review is that when a project is recommended for denial, the applicant is not required to go through the environmental review process. So when you get to this point where you're going to grant the appeal, then you're still required to go back through the process.
This was an existing...
Mr. Freeman, I'll let you speak, even though we're done. I know you have an existing building there.
It was an existing business.
Give us your name for the record.
My name is Bill Freeman, applicant. This was an existing property. It was a art studio. So it's not like the water is there, the sewer is there, everything's there. The gravel's already in place.
Thank you. Let me go back. I don't think that the environmental review is looking for the water usage and all that, but do you care to?
One suggestion is that we continue at 60 days, and then if we need more time to come back and perhaps continue at a further amount of time, and by that time we'll have a better idea of what the environmental review process involves, and it may not be very complicated at all. It may be.
I'm hoping that for the type of the business that requested here, and it's not like you're putting vehicles that are brought on and off very easily. I'm not looking for a structure that's going to be there forever. But before I go further, we have a motion. Is the motion clear, Madam Clerk?
And the motion maker would also agree with a 60-day window.
Okay. Let me. Any second?
So
on
the 60-day continuance to October 17th.
Will that be time enough for staff to do a initial environmental review? Okay.
And do we have time? And do you? Okay. So, is there a second for the motion?
I'll second.
It's seconded by Supervisor Patterson. A roll call, please.
Mr. Linthal.
Aye.
Mr. Patterson.
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi.
No.
Mr. Asajian.
Aye.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, I did want to point out that in order for the review to occur, we are going to need some information from the applicant. And so the quicker that information is received, of course,
Looks like we can move.
Donna,
before you leave, if you can get together with Ms. Cammy and see if we, the sooner you provide those informations needed, the better we can serve your needs.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mr. Lindholm?
Mr. Chairman, the board is going into closed session on one loan item, and the estimate is we should be in closed session for much less than 20 minutes.
Okay, with that, does anyone from the public wishes to comment on the closed session items? Seeing none, and Madam Clerk, if you'll wait for us, because we don't have a reason rather than to return here and report from closed session within next 10 or 15 minutes, that will be the end of today's meeting.
I will gladly wait for you.
Mr. Lennon, we're meeting downstairs?
We can.
Okay, let's do that and be done.